Today in the Oval Office, President Trump spoke about ongoing negotiations with Democrats to fund the border wall at the center of the shutdown, now in its 19th day. And he said his trigger for declaring a national emergency at the border, which would allow him to sidestep Congress and use Department of Defense funds to build his wall, is not getting a deal with Democrats.
We're all working together. I really believe the Democrats and the Republicans are working together. I think that something will happen, I hope. Otherwise, we'll go about it in a different manner. And I don't think we'll have to do that, but you never know.
Let's bring on our political strategist, Republican Alice Stewart. Hi, Alice.
Hi. Great to be with you, Jeremy.
Great to have you. And Democrat Jamal Simmons, host on Hill TV. Hi, Jamal.
Hello. Good to be with you.
So Friday is the day that this shutdown is probably going to become the longest in U.S. history. It's also the first time that there would be a paycheck going out that is not going to go out. A lot of these workers have been working, we've been saying, without the promise of a paycheck. But Friday, it'll get real. Jamal, is that going to change the whole dynamic when these workers actually don't get their paychecks and maybe TSA workers just, you know, do the airports shut down? Is that going to just change the whole thing?
I think it will change the whole thing. I was in the airport, recently, and I thanked TSA workers for working for free. They rolled their eyes at me. They were so annoyed. I think that this is it does get real for people. Look, maybe you can make it past one check. You can not pay a bill. I mean, those of us not Donald Trump have experienced some of this before. But once you get past this first check and you start having to deal with a second month of expenses and you got tuition or you got gas money or you've got just all the things, you know, a little bit of a credit card minimum here or a heating bill there, it starts to get very dicey very quickly. And we assume a lot of these people don't already have a lot of space in their budget. So the president is really courting a disaster for families.
Well, how much of a disaster is this going to be ultimately? Alice, I want to ask you about something we heard last night on Fox News. This was South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham. He praised the president for his speech last night. Today he spoke in the Oval Office at a bill signing, but last night, of course, he used the Oval Office for his to make his case for the wall. And afterwards, this is what Lindsey Graham said. He said, it's the best chance he's seen to get border security, maybe some immigration reform done, and then this.
The only way we lose is to give in. If we'll stand firm, put deals on the table that make sense, we will win this on behalf of the American people. But if we undercut the president, that's the end of his presidency and the end of our party, and we deserve to be punished if we give in now.
The end of the presidency and the Republican Party. How did a president with a loose handle on the truth and a wall become the determining factor over whether your party, the party of Lincoln, lasts?
Rob, I don't see the end of the presidency or the party if this wall does not get built. And that is, in my view, an inflammatory statement.
But
to
if he believes it, doesn't that mean there's no negotiation?
I hope not. Yeah. And look, the president is right to continue to make the case for his wall because he was elected in large part because of that. I personally never believed Mexico was going to pay for it, but I did believe he was going to stand firm on border security. But campaigning is one thing. Governing is much more difficult. And he is becoming aware of that every day. And certainly every day this shutdown continues. And both sides last night were able to make their case yet again. Nothing new came out. He was able to make his case that this is a humanitarian crisis and the border is a pipeline for drugs and sexual assault victims and sex trafficking. And Pelosi and Schumer were able to say that this was misinformation and a manufactured crisis. They both got their information out there yet again. But now's the time for them both sides to come together, roll up their sleeves and start the hard work of negotiating. Should have been done 2 years ago, but now's the time even more so to get it done.
Well, Jamal, what about on the Democratic side? We talked to John Tester, the senator from Montana today, who said, look, there are hundreds of miles of border fencing already. What is the big deal about adding another $5 billion or even $3 billion, which some Republicans are now saying they would accept, for border wall just to get this thing over with?
You know, it's interesting that this both sides-ism, I reject it because the Democrats are not really appealing to their base. President Donald Trump is trying to look out for about 30, maybe 35% of the American population. The Democrats are on the side of about 60% of people, according to the polls. And let's just say this for real. The Democrats have been willing to pass and passing Republican bills in order to fund places like the TSA, the Border Patrol, the FBI, law enforcement agencies that, frankly, the Democratic base is not so excited about funding law enforcement agencies in the Department of Defense. So the Democrats are trying to do this as broadly as possible. If the president wants to build a wall, I think Pelosi should say, sure. The speaker should say, sure. If you build it in Canada, because there are a lot more terrorists that have come across the border from Canada than there have been from Mexico.
Yeah, I just want to mention one thing. Some have accused President Trump of using the Oval Office inappropriately for spreading misinformation. I mean, the fact checkers are having a field day today with a lot of the claims that he made that are not true. On the other hand, you know, there are tweets comparing Schumer and Pelosi to the American Gothic painting of the farmer with the pitchfork and his wife. They looked so wooden. Just both of you, you're strategists. What would you tell everybody about how they're putting their messages out?
I would say let's replay last night and do it on radio, because neither one of them came across right. in a positive light optically. Look, the president shines when he is at a rally. He's feeding off the crowd and they're cheering him on, and he's able to use his body language. When he's at the desk, while that is a very presidential setting, it's not his strength.
Well, at least we didn't have any water bottle moments last night.
Exactly. And then you have Chuck and Nancy, the Schumer and Pelosi, crowded behind the podium. It was just not a very strong optic. But the overall message takeaway was that they both, again, were able to make their case with regard to border security. And it's time really to stop talking about Trump's wall, and let's talk about the broader conversation of border security. And both were able to do that.
Okay.
I watched the both speeches from end to end. My wife, however, chose to go upstairs and watch something completely different. I think I know as much about she knows as much about what right? occurred as I do, not having watched it.
You know,
it
you
as
can you can learn
it.
Just as much by reading the transcript afterwards.
Which is almost nothing, because right. there's nothing that right. was said last night that was different than what had been said before. Yeah. So I don't right. know that anybody who chose not to watch it lost anything.
And one other quick takeaway, real quickly, Jeremy, that may have hurt the president more than anything. And like I said, I supported what he said, but you tweeted something earlier that the ratings of Chuck and Nancy were higher than the president's
that
time.
Must have
so
made
that
him
had
really
to be more devastating
upset.
Than anything
Absolutely.
Else from last night.
There is news I want to get to that lawyers for former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort accidentally revealed in poorly redacted court filings yesterday that Manafort shared campaign polling data with a Russian businessman that the special counsel has identified as a former Russian intelligence officer. Alice, is that collusion?
It certainly sounds that way. And this is serious. And for people that don't know, Jamal's very aware of this. Polling data is not just Trump is ahead by 50 points and Hillary is at 40. Polling data is a lot more than that. It contains analytics and data and polling information that really can shape the message, where you message, how you message, who you message to. And that is critical information that could have been certainly put in the hands of Russians. And not to mention the fact we also learned, you know, having discussions about a pro-Russia peace plan. So a lot of this information is extremely disturbing, but the polling data, there's a lot of information, and having been on campaigns, that is closely guarded. Oftentimes you have to check it out, and it doesn't get taken away from the campaign headquarters without everyone's knowledge.
And Jamal, I'm assuming that you think it was collusion as well. I mean, giving something to a Russian, that's kind of what collusion is. But I want to ask you about the reporting today that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein is expected to resign in a few weeks once the new Attorney General William Barr is confirmed. Remember, there were all sorts of reports that he was going to be fired by Trump because he's been overseeing Mueller's Russia investigation. We've known for a while he was going to step aside. But today, Senator Lindsey Graham told reporters that William Barr said he would allow Mueller's investigation to finish up. Do you have a sense that him saying that, with Rosenstein stepping aside, might be an issue in his confirmation hearings? And what faith do you have that the Mueller investigation will continue if Rosenstein steps aside?
Well, I don't have a lot of faith in anything Lindsey Graham says, because it seems like one day he's, you know, headed in one direction, and the next day he's headed in another. It's hard to know. maybe this means that Mueller is wrapping up, and by the time Rosenstein is ready to resign, we will have already had the report. But I got to tell you, the one thing that seems clear to me is that they got him. I've been reluctant to say this before. You know, I've been thinking, well, maybe the president did this, and maybe there's that.
You mean with the
but
Manafort?
But they got him.
You mean
But the Manafort information certainly says to me that I think they've got him. And maybe what's happened is as people come into the Justice Department thinking they know the answer to this and they're willing to be a Trump stooge, they're confronted with the evidence and the data, and they decide, you know what? I don't want to touch this hot potato. Let me let Mueller finish, and hopefully that's where Attorney General Barr will be.
I just want to leave us with a line from Amy Klobuchar, the Minnesota Democratic senator, who's thinking about a presidential run. But she tweeted out a video listing things that Trump didn't talk about last night. Here she is.
And he didn't talk about the fact that the Chinese landed a craft on the moon while his government was shutting down NASA. That's just wrong.
I just think that's an interesting point. You know, think about all the things that aren't happening right
now. The things that are not happening.
Right.
You're not landing on the moon, people.
Alice Stewart.
You only had 8 minutes.
Republican political strategist, Jamal Simmons, Democrat. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.